try to think how many years have you begun again the whole liturgical year. This is the Monday of the first week in ordinary time. We've had all the feasts and all the wonder of Christmas, and now you see I'm dressed in green, which is a sign of hope. It's the sign of, we call it ordinary time. It doesn't really mean the same in Latin. Ordinary, like ordinary, you know, it means there's no special liturgical season, and there won't be until Ash Wednesday. Then we'll break this cycle, go into that, and then come back. So today we begin the Book of Samuel and the Gospel of Mark. Now the Book of Samuel, we're going to be reading about a vocation in a day or so. It's amazing when you think of this, huh? This, as the reader told us, is the Word of God. And what's the story? See how ordinary it is. There's a man who had two wives. Not many in Israel had two wives. This is the only commoner we know of. There must have been others, but it's the only one that got written up, Elkanah. And one of the women of the two is barren. She couldn't bear children. And so her whole life is meaningless to her. And her husband can't console her. Am I not worth to you 10 sons? And the answer is no. And so there she is, bereft. And that's as far as we get today. Now what's going to come of this suffering? Very ordinary suffering. This couple, especially Hannah and her son Shmuel, are world famous, because every year we read about them. But what makes them special is that God acted in a particular way in their life. He gave Hannah a child, and it was Samuel, who was the founder, in a way, of the whole prophetic movement. In other words, when they were, at this point, they were still being ruled by various chieftain heroes, but they wanted a king. Now, they got nervous with God being their only king. They wanted one because they wanted to see him. And he said, that's not right. Finally, the Lord said, let them have their king. And God worked through that, because though Saul failed, David was a success. And the Messiah, who is the eternal Son of God, is a son of David. And one of the lessons we can get from this, you see, is what's important is not whether the circumstances are ordinary or extraordinary. What's important is the purity of heart and the trust in God and obedience to God. You would think, this is the Bible, my goodness. How did this story about this lady who didn't have children ever make it into the Bible? I mean, lots of women didn't have children. Why this story? You see, because God had chosen this woman to be the mother of this child. And so she is the first, after the patriarch's wives, the first Akherah, the first barren woman. Those barren, that Akherah, the barren woman, that's a sign of God's whole way of working with us, isn't it? She could not conceive children in the ordinary course of events. It was a very special work of God. And the one born of her was a key person in salvation history, as was the son of Sarah, the son of Rachel. And so the wonderful thing about reading these books of Samuel and Kings is that we learn how to be human. Live our lives right where we are. And try to give them to God. She's going to pray so hard for her son that Eli's going to think she's drunk. And say, get out of here, go home, you're drunk. And that tops it all off after everything else that's happened. It's quite a meditation. And then we come to this scene, which is schematized. When John had been arrested, then Jesus knew that it was time for him to start his ministry. And so he came into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The good news. How many times, for how many centuries have they been waiting for this good news? The word in Hebrew for good news is basar, and the one who brings the good news is the mubaser. And so you look there in Isaiah, a blessing on how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. The good news is what? Finally he says it. Your God reigns, your God is king, your God is going to rule this world. He's going to act. And the children of Abraham, and that one son promised to Abraham and to David, will finally come. And beyond anything anybody could imagine, he's God. So we're back at the beginning of these things, you see. And this schema, when God calls, you answer. These guys are busy working at their fishing boats. They must have been trying hard, you know, to get their prayer time in every day and to obey the Lord and get to the synagogue on Shabbat. And I remember years ago, I used to be working, and we used to go to the lumber yard once in a while to get some lumber. And there was a coffee shop there, donut shop, I don't remember which one. But the coffee there was great. So everybody, we had a whole bunch of guys there, you know. Everybody got their lumber, then went in and had a cup of coffee and a donut before they went to work. And I used to look at these guys. They were good fellas, you know, and I used to say to myself, these are the apostles. These are the kind of guys, Jesus. They were honest, good men, working hard, knew what a day's work was, and trying to be good to their wife and their kids and get to church. And no superstars, but honest, good men. Those are the kind Jesus picked, huh? He picked a few geniuses like Paul and John, but most of them were kind of regular guys. And he built on that. And so, you see, today we have the beginning, very hidden beginning, of the wonders of God's plan. A barren woman, you'll hear about her tomorrow, she weeps, and he says, go home and sober up. But that wasn't encouraging either, was it? And the brothers start. One of those first two brothers looks like they own their own boat or boats. Those boats are about, they're almost as, well, from the wall back to about the second seat. We found one, first century fishing boat. It was buried in the mud up in the north part of the lake of Galilee. Somebody found it, got it out. It was perfectly preserved. And it's nice to see what they look like, you know. But the other two brothers, they were working with hired hands. Their father was a bit of an entrepreneur. And so it says, you see, they left their father in the boat along with the hired men. That was a little business. Peter and Andrew don't seem to have been quite that prosperous. So there we are. It's with this that God is going to change the world. Why would he do that? Because they need to depend upon him for everything. Who in the world, take the greatest philosopher, the greatest organizer, the greatest whatever, who could found the church? Only good, honest men who knew they knew nothing and were willing to obey God.